good news, great report. Got a lot of hard work by Susan and her team, and we're very thankful and complimentary of their efforts in these normal times. So thank you again. Our next segment is Student Affairs. Chair Henson.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair Higdon. I just always say for the new regents, we've got the best committee. That we always know something positive, find out something positive about what students are doing at the university or something good happening. All these other things are great, but I still think we've got the best committee. So, Ethan, on that note, I'm going to roll it over to you. It's good to see you and hope you're doing well.
Thank you, Chair Dixon. Thank you. Good morning to the board and President Cabone, thank you. I have some information to share with you today about scholarship, just what our scholarship portfolio from the institution level looks like for this next year. We've made some public announcements about that, but I wanted to give everybody just kind of a collective recap, just for information to the board, and let you know how that looks presently. Share my screen with you all. We got the right one. Can everybody see me?
No.
No.
Okay. Good. I'll try that again. Here we go. How's that?
In there.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity this morning to talk a little bit about scholarship rewards. You know, we talked about briefly in the financial committee about the growth of institution enrollment. And there's really two highlights that I bring to that conversation that kind of echo through scholarship. One was, as we look at the growth overall from last fall to this fall's class, there's two things that really stand out. One, growth over last year, you can see the growth over last year was in students whose GPA was at 3.0 and above. So we had a growth in the total number of students who are coming in above 3.0. And we saw a lot of growth in development in actually the largest county for enrollment growth was Warren County, followed very closely by San Francisco. Warren County was the largest growth over last year in terms of students enrolling in the institution. And I'll come back to those because I think that those kind of were interesting comments in light of the choices we've made strategically for scholarship growth and development. The scholarship academic merit awards that we started last year, so this was actually from this last fall 2019, it was really a novel approach and a new approach to the way that scholarships are considered. Historically, merit awards are historically done in institutions of higher education. And that was specifically that we dropped off a college entrance exam qualifier, except for a very top award, in terms of how we provide access to merit scholarship for academic performance. And they did a couple things. Streamlined the process, but it really focused on a couple of things that really, I think, that resonated with students this year. And that was that we were opening accessibility to the institution and providing opportunity to more students to academic merit and increasing the affordability of the institution. So we opened up this academic merit award to students at and above 3.1. So when we talk about the growth and development and the expansion of enrollment at 3.0 and higher than here is where we saw the lift in this moment, I think that we can correlate this very closely to the fact that we changed our academic merit award structure. There are some students who have strong academic backgrounds, but perhaps didn't have the background of access or preparation in terms of college entrance exams, or even the historical or the support from their families in the sense that they're the first generation of students who are considering college entrance exams and were completely unprepared for the way that college entrance exams were part of our historical educational culture and they qualified for merit awards at WKU, and perhaps they would never have qualified for it in any other institution that they were considering. So we provided an open door for access, educational support for academic performance. And it really was very, very well received nationally, and it was, I think, a very important step that we made on the institution of choice. That's the original structure. We will repeat this going forward in terms of what our academic merit award structure was. We have continuing targeted awards that are part of what we have as well, that we have done in the past and will continue to do. These targeted awards from the Kentucky Governor's Office, in the sense of Governor's Scholars, School for the Entrepreneurs, School of the Arts, National Merit Achievements, and Finalists and Modern Scholars. We also have, we will continue the Cornelius Smart Scholarship. We have our students who are represented in our institution, and then the Gatt Academy graduates also qualify for an award. We introduced some new ideas in adaptations to what we're doing with scholarships going forward into this year. So fall 21, we started a new program. Three really new scholarship programs, kind of adaptations, but also what I would say is some progressive and leading thoughts in terms of how an institution provides scholarships. The Hilltopper Guarantee is not a unique scholarship nationally. There are other institutions that have been providing commitment to students of low socioeconomic status, but this is an important part of what Western Kentucky is bringing to the Commonwealth, and it's really a dedication to who we are as a member of this Commonwealth's higher education position for our students in the state. So not only are we taking a leadership step in terms of making sure that we're providing this very generous, accessible opportunity, but we're also demonstrating our commitment to Kentucky first in terms of what we're doing. The Hilltopper Guarantee, of course, is a program for students who have any Pell eligibility. Pell eligibility is the federal determinant on terms of where federal grant aid starts. And it's a sliding scale. It starts below 500 up to 6,000 in terms of where students can receive aid based upon their expected family contribution. It's an intricate and interesting formula for determination of how much families should consider what the family could be considered to provide for their son or daughter's pursuit of higher education. But any qualification level that the student hits in terms of health eligibility, and they're Kentucky residents, and they come into our institution with a 3.0 high school GPA, then the full tuition cost is going to be remunerated in terms of their collection of scholarships and aid that they're going to have, any of the last dollar scholarships that are going to be absorbed on the institution. It's a really a wonderful promise to students who have considered higher education but felt it off the board. And so it's a true commitment to the Commonwealth and potential growth of educating the population in the state of Kentucky. The Border State Scholarship is our second scholarship promotion and position this year, and I'm really excited about this because as we look at, and this graphic really helps enhance this concept. Looking at the national stage in terms of where we look at enrollment by institutions, and this is just on a national level, that the predominance of students who enroll at an institution of higher education, on the national average, 54% of students enroll in an institution of higher education within 50 miles of their house. And upwards of about 72% of the total enrollment of an institution of higher education are coming to an institution within 100 miles. So if you think about that location of Western Kentucky and Bowling Green, and you think about 15-mile concentric circle and then a 100-mile concentric circle, you can think about we cross the border into a couple of states. And so our regional position, and this is really, you know, to play on the term of what we are as a regional institution of higher education, our region is broader, is more broadly defined than just the natural borders of the state. So, and there are students that are within our region who we can really provide optimal and desired educational experience. So we're redefining what the market for higher education can be in terms of regional comprehensive education. Our region is broader than just South Central Kentucky. We're not excluding Kentucky to anyone. In fact, we double down on Kentucky and our community. But we're also saying that there are great populations of students just across the border, Tennessee, Indiana, Illinois, even Ohio, who there's great populations of students who yet have not necessarily considered Western Kentucky because of the price. We're eliminating that, and we're competing on brand and the value of education we bring. And I think that we'll be college of choice just across the border. That's a growing opportunity for a lot of students. I spoke to our director of admissions, Jay Brooks, yesterday, and he was telling me about a call he got from Indianapolis High School counselor who had been called to verify and get sent them information about our Florida State scholarship. And he wanted to confirm that he wasn't misreading, that Indiana students could come to Western Kentucky University at the residence day rate for tuition. He couldn't believe his eyes. And so it was really an exciting component. We're changing the idea of what an institution of our size, our caliber, and our promotion opportunity can be. It's really exciting. And I think that it's going to be, we'll be leaders in terms of what we're doing more. The Border State Award Scholarship is, of course, a consideration for our several contiguous things. They're admitted to the institution in the home full time. We have a continuation based on satisfactory academic performance. But the idea being is that it's really glad that Border State is such a thing that we can for the state tuition. Finally, the other opportunity that we have is a commitment to our alumni and those people who have who are part of the WKU Hilltop family. And so the WKU Family Scholarship is a commitment to our alums, and we've expanded this tuition rate qualification for our new first-time freshmen whose parents, step-parents, or grandparents have a degree or certificate from Western Kentucky University. And so if they're living anywhere else in the United States, outside of the seven contiguous border states, that they can enroll at WKU and also at an in-state rate. We're going to say that the value of being a Western Kentucky University alum is the fact that your son or daughter can also have the opportunity to be a Hilltopper, and we want to make sure that this is an opportunity to be a consideration for their choices in higher education as well, and it costs not prohibitive obstacle to them continuing the Hilltopper tradition. So this is really nice. You think about this trio of scholarships. It's a commitment to the state of Kentucky, it's a commitment to our region and opportunity, it's a commitment to our alum who have been a part of our institution, and what we can do for them and provide them a continuation of great educational opportunities. We had this last couple of years what we call the tuition incentive program, and so we've revised those scholarships that we just talked about. We're adaptations of the tuition incentive scholarship, and we've redefined what we call the tuition incentive program to be this, that any non-resident, non-contiguous state student who is outside of our area, who has a high school GPA of 3.0 and qualifies for any of our scholarship awards from the institution, they will be able to qualify for the tuition incentive program, which is a reduction of the out-of-state tuition rate. And so it's not an in-state rate, but it is definitely a reduction of a true out-of-state tuition rate, and it's an incentive to try to make sure that those students who are sought outside of our region, outside of our state, but who have demonstrated tremendous intellectual or talents, skills that we desire to bring to the Hill, that they can have an opportunity to leverage the consideration and opportunity here. So in addition to receiving scholarships, then they also can have a reduction to their out-state tuition. And so that's kind of a commitment back to the institution, is that please feel free, feel encouraged, and feel leveraged to go out and recruit students across the country who are the students you desire to bring to your program. This is across all of the subjects. And so it can be, you know, a music student with great talent that we want to bring to the campus. It can be a student with demonstrated scientific research, and, you know, a scientific mindset that could be a great addition to our institution. So if we look at all sorts of scenarios where we would want to offer a scholarship to a student with great interest to any of our programs, services at the institution, we could help accentuate the affordability and the attractiveness of Western Kentucky University as an institution. And there's the specifics about the incentive program. Of course, we're talking about a full-time student and the recipient of a university scholarship. But if they meet those criteria, then we can provide them a discount on top of that. That's the highlights of our scholarship platform portfolio for this next year. Of course, there's other scholarships online that are unique to our programs, colleges, and foundation, but this is the general profile and prospectus of what we're providing for our students this next year for our recruitment and development.
Regan, if I could contextualize this for everyone in a way that I hope is simple to understand. When I first came here, there's a Mexican restaurant right across the tracks down the hill from the university. And you go into this neighborhood, it's a low-income neighborhood, and you look up the hill, and there's this shining university. And I want every young person in that community, no matter their family's economic condition, to know if they get a 3.0 in high school, that they can come to WKU tuition-free. We want to be that neighborhood's university, and we want every one of those young people to know that we're possible in their future. The same thing's true for our region. We're going to erase that invisible line between Kentucky and Tennessee and all those other states to say we're going to lift the economy, and we're going to be accessible to every person from the region in a way that grows the possible number of students that we can recruit in a way that is good not just for the university, good for Bowling Green as we attract talent and retain it here after they graduate. And then the last part is, if you're a legacy student, if one of your family members graduated from WKU, we want to make it easy for you to come home to the Hill. And so that's how we're talking about this publicly, in a way that transforms who we are, our market, and what we aspire to be as an institution.
Thank you, Dr. Caboni. Does anyone on the committee have any questions for Ethan? Garrett?
I don't really have a question, but I would just like to echo what President Caboni has said. And it's because of those words, I'm very proud to be a Hilltopper, but also very proud of this scholarship expansion. You know, I come from a small town of 400 people, and I'm very blessed to have a family that has supported me through college, but also encouraged me to get a degree. And I know there are many individuals just in the area I'm from that don't have that same kind of backing but are so smart. And something like this is going to really help them to be able to obtain that four-year degree. And I really hope that we consider this when it comes up to have a vote on it. I'm very proud of this. So thank you.
Thank you, Garrett. See, I told you all we had the best year. I mean, it's always something positive. Yes, Jan?
I have a question about how these new scholarships are publicized, especially to the out-of-state students that would be eligible. I mean, that may be a long question and more involved than you want to get into, but just generally.
Ethan, you want to answer that?
That's it. You know, that's a great question. So it's a combination of a couple of things. It's direct communication in terms of, you know, hard mail, email to students. It's conversations with high school counselors. We're sending them communication and engaging them in conversations about these scholarship developments. And it's also in our online presence, social media / digital advertising. And so you'll see this repeated across a variety of modalities and delivering devices in terms of how we're trying to get this message out. Saturating the idea of what this is across prospective students, families, but also across high school counselors is our number one priority, to try to make sure that this message is known and that WKU rises up in terms of consideration for potential opportunity for higher education.
Now, Ethan, that guidance counselor in Indiana, did they get a flyer or an email? Kind of going along with what Jan asked. Did they get something? Okay, so they got some communication from Western. And it was it hard mail or was it email or?
Yes. Direct mail collateral.
Okay, good. That's nice.
Chair Benson?
Yes, sir.
I would like to brag on our president for his out-of-the-box innovation and pursuit of the scholarship program and the team that he has assembled for student recruitment. It's remarkable. Innovative. It's going to separate us from the rest of the universities in our state. Thank you, President Bobby.
Ditto, Chair Higdon. Does anybody else have? Yes, Klaus.
I'm very excited about these new scholarships. I think this is a really step in the right direction. But my question is, how much financial risk are we taking here? So could you, for example, give us numbers? Suppose we take this fall's class, okay, and we had this program in place. How much would we lose in tuition revenue? And then, you know, I mean, we're hoping to grow our student body, and so what is necessary for us to come out ahead?
Ethan, you want me to take this one?
I'm happy to, but let's go ahead.
Okay, well, because I'm in the room. I think the numbers are this. You know, we talked last year about how much is break-even. And I want to remind everyone that we're thinking about a net tuition revenue perspective, not just headcount anymore. And so the goal of this is to grow the revenue we have available to us, both through that first year class, but also through retention as you shape the class and have more students with above a 3.0 who will persist. For us to break even, we need 30 more in-state students, 130 out-of-state. Now, I've challenged the admissions group. What's the number, Ethan?
You'd like to see 3,500 new freshmen, sir?
That's next year. We got to get to 4,000 the year after that, but we'll work on 3,500 for fall for fall 21. So
those are quite modest numbers, and
very much so.
They must be achievable.
You remember the conversation we had last year was around if we needed about 100, and we got 450. So we need about another 130. I think we can get 450.
He's not as good yet. All right, does anyone have any more questions? Ethan, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Chair Higdon.
And Chair Higdon, I'm finished with we're finished with our Student Affairs Committee report.
Thank you, Chair Higdon. We next turn to our last committee meeting, the Executive Committee. We have two action items. I don't know who's presenting these. President Goni, are you presenting the water?
I am not. Is Jennifer Tugas on the line?
Yes, sir.
There you are.
Yes. Wait. Down. There you go, 38 by looks of it. Thank you for your time this morning. This is things that Warren County Water District approached us back in the summer, and they have a sewer substation that is located on Elrod Road adjacent to the Ag Farm property that is nearing end of life, that they would like to upgrade. And make that upgrade that's kind of in context of the growth that we're seeing in southern Warren County. They're requesting an easement on the Ag Farm property that's approximately 50-foot by 50-foot area It's along the edge of the Ag Farm along Elmont Road. And as part of that easement, the Warren County Water District would be responsible for securing the lift station site, replacing the cattle fencing in which from the barge, and maintaining the rounds between the two fences. All of the Ag Farm stakeholders have met with the Warren County Water District on site in support of this recommendation. If you proceed to the next slide, this shows a map of the area that that's in question. So next slide, please. So you can see the old lift station, the little elbow in Elrod Road there, the existing Ag Farm fence row in red, the red dashed line. The green dashed line would be the enclosed easement area with the proposed new lift station. The additional road drawings that you see there are part of what KYTC has put together the previous study with ongoing discussions about a potential interchange with the Natural Parkway. So that is not something that is in the immediate future, but it is something that, as they're placing this this proposed lift station, that they're cognizant of what that potential impact would be. So that's the information item, and I'll be happy to take any questions. The action item is to approve the requested easement.
Let me start with a question. What is the visual above ground apparatus and station look like? Is it aesthetically pleasing?
Yeah, everything will be enclosed behind a green chain link fence that has the visual screen. There'll be a visual screen around the substation itself.
Second question, Regent Milliken, do you have any history in this area?
I'm sorry, I do not.
Any other questions from the committee or other regents?
Does this enhance our property? And I'm not even sure what's on that property, but...
What was the question?
Does it improve our worth of our property? Does it enhance it? Does it give better service to whatever we have on that property?
It has the potential to do that because the new lift station itself would help support any improvements that we can do to the farm itself. The property is currently used as a cow grazing area. So it's, like I said, we had Dean Arbuckle, we had Paul Woosley, and other members of agriculture group meet on campus, on site to review the location, and they were supportive of this request.
There was something about this property a few years ago that somebody wanted it for something. I can't remember what, but it was made clear that that property is valuable. And I guess if you look at Bowling Green and what's going on Bowling Green, any property around here is valuable. So giving up even just 50 by 50, I'd like to think that in some way it is enhancing the rest of the property.
I think what it would do is it provides some infrastructure to allow for future development. What they're doing as they're replacing this lift station is replacing something with a larger capacity.
Okay.
Regent, well, that was a medical office group that was going to put a clinic or center out on the farm.
That's
is that
right.
A good recollection?
I believe it is, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does anyone else have questions?
I would just ask, what's the length of time on the easement?
Oh, that's a really good question. I'd have to go back to my documents to look at that. Give me one moment. We have had the draft agreement reviewed by legal and all parties.
Hey Jennifer, this is Brian Russell. Can I step in here, please?
Sure, please.
I'd like to address the board. The easement would be, basically be as long as the infrastructure that supports the whole county area is in place. But I make the assumption that the easement is there forever, unless it's totally removed. And that'd be the lift station. That lift station is for all the sewer and sanitation for that whole area and could possibly pick up future farm use. It is located at a real hard curve. It's not anywhere close to Bennett Lane, which faces the 6880 roadway, the National Road out front. And it's really located more on the back of the farm. But any other questions?
Thank you, Brian.
Any other questions from Regents?
I move that we grant the easement as presented.
I second.
Motion by Regent Bell, second Regent Henson. Any further discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Passes unanimously. Next item is an honorary naming request. Amanda, are you presenting that?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Chair Higdon. I'm pleased today to present an honorary naming request for Julie and Gary Lansdale Living and Learning Community at LifeWorks at WKU. LifeWorks at WKU provides counseling, employment training, life skills training, and education to individuals diagnosed on autism spectrum disorder to advance opportunities for independence and affordable housing. The residential buildings for LifeWorks were located at 1328 Adams Street and were completed through renovation of existing apartment buildings. Renovations to the housing complex were completed this past spring, and the program launched with 6 residents this fall. At capacity, the program will have 26 participants. Dr. Gary Ramsdale served as the 9th president of Western Kentucky University from September 12, 1997 until his retirement on June 30, 2017. During his tenure, he and the Board of Regents led the campus through a dramatic transformation from university of regional importance to one of leading American universities with international reach. Dr. Ramsdale received his BA in Mass Communication from WKU in 1973, an MPA in 1974, and his Doctorate of Education from Indiana University in 1978. Hugh Ramsdale served as our First Lady and spent 20 years working both behind the scenes and on the front lines of leadership along with her husband. Julie earned her BS in Elementary Education from WKU in 1975, and prior to the Ramsdale's return in 1997, she served in several school systems as a classroom teacher. This honorific naming is recommended in recognition of Dr. Gary and Julie Ramsdale's leadership and dedication to the LifeWorks program and its inception at WKU. This was also made at the request of a confidential leadership donor to the program. LifeWorks at WKU will cover all the costs of the signage that will be installed on the property.
Thank you, Amanda. Any comments or questions from a committee member or other regions?
Great. I'd just like to say I toured the LifeWorks building the last time I was in Bowling Green. David Brinkley and I toured, and it is unbelievable what they have done to that whole corner and the programs they're going to offer and services to adults after they've had their student experience here at WKU that have some are on the autism spectrum. It was just unbelievable. Actually, I said to David, I think that it was nicer than any apartment I rented after leaving Western Kentucky University. These things were lovely and nice. And Gary Watkins did a fabulous job on the renovation. But this is an area that we're not seeing in the rest of the state of Kentucky. And for us to have a program like this really sets us apart and allows these students to become adults by working with them after they graduate in WKU. But if you ever get a chance to go tour this, build these buildings and what they've done over there and the apartments and stuff, it's quite impressive.
Again, for the benefit of our new regents, if memory serves me correctly, I think the money for this has come from Mr. Gatton, and so I would wonder whether there's been any communication there, and he, I would imagine, would think favorably of this, but I am curious.
Yes, he is well aware of the progress and what is happening with the LifeWorks facility.
Right.
I'd like to make a motion to, how do I officially do this? Y'all got to help me, I can't remember. Officially move that move for approval of honoring and naming request for Julie and Gary Ransdell, Living and Learning Community at LifeWorks at WKU.
I'll second.
Thank you.
We have a motion by Regent Henson, a second by Regent Bale. Any further discussion?
I just have a question. So I have a long history at WKU, so I was here when Gary Ransdell came initially. What I very clearly remember is that Gary Ransdell said that a naming opportunity ought to be backed up by a significant gift. And so he said that at the response, because what we did do, we named a dormitory after the prior president. And so, and then we did name a building, the Gary Ransdell Hall on campus. And so my question is there a significant gift behind this?
Yes, at the request of the donor, the naming opportunity is made in their honor at the request of that lead donor to the facility.
Any other questions or comments? Regent Hurst, did that answer your question?
Yes.
Thank you. Anyone else? We have a motion and a second. Call the vote. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign, passes unanimously. That concludes the executive committee portion of our agenda. We next move to an executive session matter.
Chair Hankins,
you'll be done. Do we need to coordinate a break here, or can we transition into closed session?
We need to go ahead and have a motion, and we can break real quick.
Chair Higdon.
Okay.
I move that the board go into closed section as provided in KRS 61.810, Section 1, for the following discussion. Discussion of proposed or pending litigation against or on behalf of the university.
We have a motion for closed session. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second by Regent Bale. Question? All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. We will now proceed to closed session.
Give us a few minutes to clear the room and get folks off Zoom. Thank you.
YouTube has been stopped.